Welcome to the NJIOA 2025 Winter Retreat. In this workshop, we'll be discussing the big book chapter called A Vision for You. I'm delighted to introduce today's speaker to the group, Dawn B. Whenever you are ready, you may begin your presentation, and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And it is just a joy and a privilege to be here with you today. I will first off, a vision for you, the chapter, A Vision for You. It's a wonderful chapter. It does start with talking about the our experience as addicts, you know, in this case, alcoholics, but myself as an addict. In the beginning, you know, it started out to be wonderful. I would use my food to help me to feel better. And it did make me feel better for a time. But then I started feeling worse and worse and worse. And I'll start by giving just a little bit of background of myself as well. I came into the program back when I was 19 years old. I was going to school at the time, and a person from Mayo Clinic came over and was talking, giving a speech at our college where I was going. And he worked with people who had obesity issues over at Mayo Clinic. And so somebody asked him, well, what's the best program out there for losing weight? And he thought, and he said, well, for the long haul, I would say Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, that is for me. I have no idea what that is, but that is absolutely for me. And I found a meeting after that and started going. And I am now 65 years old. So I started when I was 19 and I'm now 65. But I'm one of the slowest learners that you'll ever come across. It took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent for any length of period of time. So if you're out there and still struggling, and maybe you've been around for a while, I can certainly relate. I have been in your shoes. 34 years. Now, there were some of those years that the only one who knew I was a member was me. So, but 34 years in and out of the rooms. Before I was able to get abstinent, and people will ask me, well, what happened? You know, what was the thing that did it for you? And for me, I had to get to the point where I realized that this is absolutely life or death for me. This absolutely will kill me. I had to get to that point where I knew that if I kept on going the way that I was, all that I had to look forward to was a tremendous amount of pain and a lot of unnecessary suffering and an early death. I was welcoming a lot of diseases into my life. My heart was doing strange things. I could barely walk up a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing. And the writing, I felt like God was giving me a message and letting me know that this will kill me. This will take me out. And I'm not going to be able to be there for my loved ones. I'm going to start losing choices of my own care, and I'm going to have to start relying on other people rather than being able to be there for my family. And so, I realized that this is life or death. I have to clearly identify my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100%. And grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver, and work this like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. It absolutely does. And that's what I did. I made a list of everything that I had ever overeaten on. And that was my, my red light foods. I made a list of everything I sometimes overate on and sometimes was fine about. And that was my yellow light list. And I wrote my behaviors as well. You know, those things that are triggering me to eat more and more and more. I clearly identified that. and then got my alcoholic foods and behaviors very clear in my mind, made a list, and these are now death to me. If I am an alcoholic, if I'm an addict, then a little bit of crack cocaine, a little bit of heroin will kill me. And so I had to be very, very clear that if I accept that I am an addict, then a little bit of heroin, a little bit of crack cocaine is simply not okay. It will kill me. And I had to get that drastic with it. And if someone would please put up the pictures of my before and after. I believe that somebody has that. Nope. I think somebody does.
Oh, Dawn, sorry. I do. And I'm trying to share on my other computer and I got booted out of this room. I'll be right there. They'll be up in about 30 seconds.
No worries. No worries. Take your time. Not a problem. So anyway, and essentially you can visualize in your mind, I'm down over approximately 120 pounds from my top weight. I stopped weighing myself at my largest weight. So I really don't know how much weight I've lost, but I'm at a slender, normal body weight. And I'm now abstaining and doing so happily. So the food isn't calling to me. Okay, there we go. So the person in the green shirt there is really desperate. And she's saying the words in her mind, oh, shit, when they're taking my picture. Because I really did not, excuse me, but I really did not want my picture to be taken and had successfully destroyed all pictures of me prior to that at larger weights. Because I was miserable, absolutely miserable. I was fighting everything and everyone. I was experiencing, you know, like it says in the beginning of the Vision for You chapter, the four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. You know, that was my life. I was a fighter and I was resisting reality. I'm a mother. I have four young adult children. Three of them have autism. Both of my sons are of the severity that they will probably never be able to live on their own. The two that are higher functioning also have mental illness. They have schizoaffective disorder. My husband is a cancer survivor on a feeding tube with ongoing chronic health issues. But the truth of the matter is, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps and through the relationship with my higher power. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. As I mentioned, I came into the rooms, you know, I was seeking to feel better through food. I just wanted to feel better. I wanted to escape the pain. I wanted to just, you know, go into oblivion and just find some relief. But I realized, you know, through this program is that what I'm chasing is a mirage. And I come up with a mouthful of sand because it really does not satisfy. It satisfies for a few seconds and then it simply does not. And then it slowly erodes my life and takes away everything that is meaningful and valuable. I was a rager. My husband never knew who he was going to get when he walked in the door. If it was going to be, you know, raging Dawn, just wanted to pick a fight so she could be alone with her food, or if he was going to get giddy, manic, you know, Dawn high on her alcoholic foods. And I was fighting everything and everyone. I was fighting the school district, you know, for services for our sons. I was lost in grief over the death of really hopes and dreams for the lives I thought my children would have that was not, you know, appeared to be no more. And I was just really, really, I hated life. I, just like it says in the Vision for You chapter, I got to a point where I couldn't imagine life with food, and I couldn't imagine life without food. I just, I was at the jumping off point. And so what the Vision for You chapter is basically giving people a glimpse of their future. And so what I would like to do for you today, is give you a glimpse of your future if you're just starting out in the program, or if you've been here a while and still haven't been able to get recovered. I want to give you a glimpse of what I have experienced, you know, the transformation that I have experienced. In the Vision for You chapter, it does talk about the, you know, what is the substitute? I couldn't imagine being able to get through life without my binge foods. I simply could not. How could that possibly be? I couldn't imagine. I thought I would die if I did not have my alcoholic foods. I could not imagine it. And so the Vision for You chapter is giving us a glimpse of what life can be like, a recovered life. And I'm going to tell you what my recovered life is like. So I mentioned in the beginning, I was seeking to feel better with food. I put the food down through the program and I realized that, wow, you know what? Underneath this, I am seeking to feel better by trying to control others and circumstances, trying to get my kids to be different, trying to get my husband to be different, trying to get, you know, life to be different. And I was very disappointed when it wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. And I thought, I literally thought, it is my job to try to get my children to be different, to get life to be different, and to be the way I need it to be in order for me to feel happy. And what I realized through program is that is just as food, it was me chasing a mirage because it didn't satisfy. I came up with a fistful of sand instead of a mouthful of sand. And program teaches me to seek my ease and comfort. It's a beautiful invitation. The 12 steps is a beautiful invitation for me to seek to feel better through the relationship with my higher power. And it is a beautiful, beautiful way of life. And so just like it says in Bill's story, I think is a wonderful summary, just really concise of, okay, so if I don't have the food, you know, what am I to be doing during the day to feel better? How do I feel better? And it just, on page 13 in Bill's story, it says, I humbly offer myself to God as I understood him, to do with me as he would. And you know what? I'm using this in my morning meditation to just, it's just a beautiful summary of the 12 steps and in a prayerful way. So I say, God, I offer myself to you. Do with me whatever you will. I put myself, all my concerns into your hands. And it goes on to say, I place myself unreservedly under your care and direction. So I'm putting myself in God's hand and asking for God's care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself, I am nothing. Without you, I'm lost. So I say, God, on my own, I am absolutely lost. I don't have it. I can't do it. I cannot do this life without you. And then it says, I jump down to page 13 where it says, I sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. So that is what I do during the day. So I pulled into the garage a while back and I was, you know, out driving around. It was kind of clearing my mind. And then I came back home and all these stressors started to tick off in my mind. Okay. All these things, what I have to take care of. And I thought, wait a second, I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is stay in the moment and ask God, how would you have me handle this one, God? You know, please give me your words. What would you have me say in this situation when it arises? You know, we think of God as our director. It says in the big book, God is our director. So what is my line? What would you have me say? Please help me to see this situation more like you see it, God. Please help me to love my children as you would delight in me loving them. Give me your words, God. Please help me to see myself more like you see me. Please give me the words that you would have me speak to myself, God. And it also says in the big book that God, it says in chapter two, he stood in the presence of infinite love, infinite power. So what would infinite love want me to know? An infinite love wants me to know that I am delighted in exactly as I am, that I am loved beyond what I could begin to comprehend with my mind, and that I am being held so safely and so securely. So, and that really helps me to feel better. So when I'm seeking God and seeking God's will and God's way, I can feel better. And it's not a feeling better. It's not a peace that's dependent on circumstances. It is peace regardless of circumstances. And that right there, what Bill says, I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. So basically, I am asking for God's will. And whatever that is, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be my only goal, God. And that right there has gotten me through the most challenging situations in my life. That way of feeling better gives me a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. And it also says in the big book, you know, when we place ourselves in God's hands and do our best to do what, you know, follow God's dictates, we are given serenity that matches calamity. And that is a peace that truly satisfies. And it is the only source. You know, I sought it first in food, and that did not satisfy. And it hollowed me out and would kill me. And then I find out in moving on to step three, I'm seeking peace. I'm seeking my ease and comfort from trying to control others and circumstances. And it says on page 62 in the big book that that as well will kill me. That will take me out. But when I seek my ease and comfort, when I seek to feel better through the relationship with my higher power and seeking God's way and not my way, I receive a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. It says on page 103 in the AA 12 and 12, our surest help is when we seek God's way, God's will in our moments of stress. And that is that right there to me is the essence of the 12-step program. It also says on page 40 in the AA 12 and 12 that what we really have is a misuse of willpower, because we were using our will to bombard our problems with it. And we were using it improperly. But when we start to use our willpower the correct way, it says the proper use of the will then is when we use our will to bring us into alignment with God's intention for us. And that is the purpose of the AA 12 steps. And step three opens the door to that. And then it also says on page 85 in the big book of AA, it says, every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. And that has helped me so much. And let me just, if I can find that. And I apologize here, I'm going to find it. Okay. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with me constantly. I can exercise my willpower along this line all I wish, because it is the proper use of the will. So we heard earlier about the improper use of the will is me trying to, follow my will, my way. I am bringing myself into alignment with God's will. And it is a beautiful, beautiful way of life. It is our surest help when we seek God's will in moments of stress. And it is just a beautiful, beautiful way of life. So thank you so much for that. So vision for you. In the chapter, Vision for You, we are given a glimpse of what life will be like. And I am looking at that right now. A vision for you. And what the chapter is meant to do is to give hope to people who are struggling and who are looking at this different way of life and wondering, how in the world will I be able to do this? And also, it's for people who are wondering, how can I live without my alcoholic foods? Because they don't see how that would be possible. And they're wondering, you know, what else is there? If you're going to take away, if the food has to be taken away, then what am I going to do? And they said, the fellowship is a beautiful substitute for the food. You will find relief of your cares and your worries. And I certainly, through the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, have found some of my dearest, closest friends. I have found, you know, joy, laughter, understanding. It really is. I went to the last Vision for You conference that was in 2019, and it was the strangest thing. I felt like it was absolutely true. It was like the survivors of a shipwreck who were so grateful that their lives had been saved, and it was just like this joy, a group of people that would bend over backwards to try to help anybody that was there and just give them, you know, whatever they needed to try to help them. It was just, it was really an amazing experience. Such kindness and such gratitude that permeated, you know, the conversations there. It was just an amazing thing. This life really has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And it has been something that has been such a gift. So how can I not? I am so grateful. My life is so different now. I can experience peace regardless of circumstances because of what this program has given to me. And the fellowship has been just such an amazing thing. I have a host of friends. I can call, you know, a list, and all of us have that at our fingertips nowadays. You know, back when Bill met Dr. Bob, you know, they had was each other. You know, there weren't a lot of people around. And then the fellowship grew, and the Vision for You recounts the fellowship growing. And now we're so spoiled. You know, we can come to a meeting like this and there's, you know, 30 people here. There's, you know, so many people with a Zoom, and we can connect with people around the country, around the world. It is just such a blessing. We have friends that understand. We have people that will bend over backwards to do whatever they possibly can to try to help us. I was just going to be curling my hair, you know, getting ready for this meeting, and somebody called me, and I just said, nope, I'm not going to curl my hair. I'm just going to go. I'm going to help this person. They needed to speak to me. I am going to speak to them. I'm going to be there for them. And it was just, you know, that's what we do in this program. We just bend over backwards to try to help anyone because we are. Why? Because I am so grateful. This has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams, and it isn't, and it's a beautiful way of life. So regardless of circumstances, my husband just got a x-ray back. You know, it shows that he has a mass in his lungs. And so I have a choice. You know, I can go down the scary hallway of fear, or I can, you know, and I started early this morning grabbing hold of God's hands and just looking, keeping my focus straight on God and just saying, God, I don't want my husband to live one more day than is your most loving intention for him. So whatever your will is, God, even if it's the last thing that I want, if it's your will that my husband last, you know, one more day, that's all I want. Your will is my only goal. if it's your will for however many days, whatever it is, God, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be my only goal. May your will be done, not mine. And when I do that and just surrender and realize that surrender is my shortest path to peace, it really is, regardless of circumstances. When I surrender and say, your will is the only outcome that I'm invested in. I am freed to be helpful to others. I can be of service to my husband, and I'm not spending my time resisting reality. Because when I struggle and I resist reality, when I try to grab the steering wheel away from God and try to turn life in a different direction, I suffer and I cause other people to suffer. But when I surrender and just seek God's will and God's way in my moment of stress, just like it says in the AA Big Book on page 103, that is my pathway to peace there. And it is a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. And it does absolutely give me life beyond my wildest dreams. Do I still have challenges? Yes, I do. Do I still mess up? I make mistakes all the time. But I go back to, what would infinite love want me to know? I don't think infinite love wants me to beat myself up, to spend time, trying to do it perfectly, and to kick myself when I don't get it right. I don't think infinite love wants me to do that. So how else do I feel better? I feel better by doing 10 steps. So when I get in some kind of emotional disturbance or distress, I do a 10 step. And those are just fantastic ways to go from me feeling tense and anxious. And what I'm doing is just what I mentioned in the AA 12 and 12, where it says, when we use our will to bring ourselves into alignment with God's will and God's intention for us, we begin to use it rightly. So in my 10 steps, I am pausing. I am listening for God's voice to me. Like under the dishonesty, when I'm thinking how I might be dishonest in the 10th step, I say, okay, what am I telling myself that may not be true? This emotional disturbance I'm feeling, is there something I might be telling myself that may not be true? And then I go ahead and write that down. And then I say, okay, God, what is your truth? This is what I'm telling myself, but what is your truth? So then I write that down. And then I say, have I paused to consider asking God to help me see the situation more like God sees it, or see this person more like God sees them? And I do that. And then I pause and I listen, okay, God, how do you see this situation? How do you see this person? Help me to see the situation more like you see it. Help me to see this person more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Your will be done, not mine.
Dawn, you have 7 minutes.
Oh, thank you. So, through the 10th step, I also give myself I pause at the end of after saying my fear prayer and saying, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. I also pause and I do something that I have learned, through this program is about two-way prayer. So I pause and I say, okay, if infinite love, if God were to speak directly to me regarding this situation, what might God say to me? What might infinite love want me to know? And then just pause and listen and write down anything that comes to me. And that has been so helpful. Some of the things that I've heard, through doing that is like, my precious, infinitely loved daughter, my sweet Donnie, I am here for you, precious one. And even though you may not, your belief in me may falter, my belief in you has never wavered. I love you, precious sweetheart, more than you can begin to comprehend with your mind. I created you to be exactly as you are. And I love you beyond what you can comprehend. And some of the things I've heard as well is like, if you only really knew, sweet Donnie, how much you and your precious, precious family are loved and cared for by me, you would never worry again. You would not be afraid. All is well, sweet one. All is well. I've got you. And I'm carrying you. And I'm not about to drop you now. All is well. And just things like that are just so powerful to just speak to the little sweet one inside of me that might be afraid. So 10 steps are super helpful. And at the end of the Vision for You chapter, it does say how our real reliance must be on our higher power. Not to rely on, you know, others and feel nervous, but to have our real and first reliance be on God. And that has been so very helpful to me. It says, your real reliance must always be on Him. We will show you how to, and that will show you, you know, you will be shown how to create the fellowship you crave. And then comes the beautiful portion in the Vision for You chapter that we hear at the end of every Vision for You meeting. And may I just say, if you have not listened to a Vision for You meeting, I invite you to check those out. They are a fantastic meeting. I absolutely love. I started listening to the Vision for You meetings about 7 years ago, and they have been the biggest gift for me to listen to Vision for You meetings. And now I listen to them every day possible. I listen Monday through Fridays on Vision for You meetings. There's a 10 a.m. Eastern time meeting that I listen to, and it is at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So anyway, check out Vision for You meetings if you haven't listened to those, because they are my favorite, my absolute favorite. And what this chapter is, they take the name from this chapter. So, and if you need more information, I'm happy to give that to you. So this is how they end all their meetings. They say, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Oh, I just love that. And I love reading that. And I love this program. It really has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that is, it has given me a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. And working this program one day at a time doesn't just change me, you know, while I'm working the steps. It is a moment by moment, beautiful practice that I'm invited to. And not to waste time beating myself up when I make mistakes. But I believe my higher power has this amazing sense of humor and actually gets a lot of joy and delight in, helping me to live my life. And I'm just so grateful for this program. I'm grateful to be here with all of you today. And may we just continue to walk this path together as we seek through service and sacrifice and, you know, for others, we grow spiritually in the service that we provide. And just thank you for this opportunity to share. It's really been a privilege and just a joy to be here with you. And look forward to walking this road together with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.